The conflict between Moscow and Ankara escalates in the wake of the downing of a Russian fighter jet. Truckers protesting a new road tax descend on Moscow. And Vladimir Putin prepares for his annual State of the Nation speech. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories we expect to make news. My name is Brian Whitmore, author of the Power Vertical blog here at RFERL. Joining me here in the studio is senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
Well, lots to discuss today, and I've clearly got a lot of catching up to do after my little trip to Ukraine, so let's take these one at a time. The fallout from Turkey's downing of a Russian Su-24 fighter jet continues, with Moscow suspending visa-free travel for Turks and ending charter flights to Turkey. This is one of the biggest changes in Moscow's relations with the outside world since the start of the Ukraine crisis. They've built up their relationship with Turkey, Putin's personal relationship with Erdogan. He recently praised him as a strong man, not afraid to stand up to the West. And now suddenly Erdogan is public enemy number one in Russia. Is this conflict, in your opinion, a blip, or do you see something more deeper and enduring here?
Well, I think it's going to have to endure for quite a while. Because you have, for one thing, it's, neither Putin nor Erdogan is going to back down entirely. Right. We'll see whether they meet in Paris on the sidelines of the climate conference. But a lot of unpleasant things have been said, and done. And now, Russians will no longer be traveling to Turkey for vacation. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a huge difference. So, and it fits into sort of, I mean, in a way, Putin set this all up by, he's got the country on this kind of war footing with starting from Ukraine, almost 2 years ago now. And, I don't see, even if Putin and Erdogan can kind of tone down the sort of enmity, I don't see the relationship really improving that much in the near or medium term, because, you're not going to say, okay, it's fine. Actually, you can go back to Turkey and
right.
have vacation. So, and what's happening here, again, is it seems like the Kremlin is kind of making ordinary Russians, pay in a way for what the Kremlin is doing.
Yeah, I've seen, in a lot of ways, this shouldn't be surprising at all. I mean, Russia and Turkey are historically competitors. They're historically rivals in the Black Sea region, in the Middle East. Putin was directly challenging Erdogan's interests in Syria by trying to prop up Bashar al-Assad. The Turks want Assad out. They were routinely violating their airspace and was pretty much taking Turkey for granted, actually, in this way. And I think this was bound to happen. But this is different from Russia's previous conflicts, because they can't have a little war with Turkey. They can't have a little fake war with Turkey. Turkey's too big and too powerful for that. And they can't have a big war with Turkey because they'd probably lose it. So you have to wonder where this is going to go. I found it really telling in the hours right after the Su-24 was shot down, where Putin said, well, we had a deal with the Americans on coordinating our
right.
airstrikes. That doesn't mean you had one with the Turks.
Right.
And I think everybody's studiously trying to keep NATO out of this. Have you picked up on that as well?
Well, exactly. And that's one thing one way that, as you say, Putin, Russia can't afford to have a real war with Turkey. One of the reasons is because that becomes a war, a war with NATO. So I think, Putin's kind of response is limited. He has to demonize Turkey, but he can't let it go beyond that. You can't let it go further and get NATO involved. So I think, in a way that sort of dictates his, the way he's kind of ruining relations with Turkey, cutting off vacations to Turkey and that sort of thing, because he needs to make a fuss and make the Russians see that Turkey's done wrong, but without actually getting into war.
A real conflict with
But them. I think you're absolutely right about him taking Turkey for granted. And apparently that's one of the things that Erdogan was angry about. Not just in Syria, using Syria for flights, but also with the after the Europe rejected South Stream gas pipeline, Putin just said that basically the same day, actually we've got it going with Turkey. And I think Turkey was... I think Erdogan was angry that, you know, he seemed kind of like Russia was taking Turkey for granted on that.
This is a pattern we've seen. I mean, Russia got the relationship with Germany really wrong, assuming that these energy deals were going to be enough to cement the relationship. But international relations is about more than energy. And we have the same thing here. Now, Turkey stands to lose a lot, but I would argue Russia stands to lose more in the big picture, because if you look, Putin's created not just a conflict with the West now. He's increasingly creating a conflict with much of the world. I mean, he's tried to create this anti-Western coalition of middle powers. And larger than middle powers, if you include China. But none of these are really working out at the end of the day.
Right. And now you have one that's essentially an enemy. No, I think you're right. I mean, one thing that this does is really does add a level to the the isolation, I mean, of Russia.
And there's more on the horizon. I mean, in Syria, it's not just Turkey and the West that Russia is opposing there. It's also Saudi Arabia. And I foresee a some kind of Russian Saudi confrontation on the horizon as well. So we're going to be the list of countries that are becoming right. enemies of Russia is growing almost by the week. So as all this is going on, Putin has a little domestic situation on his hands right now. A protest of truckers who are up in arms about a new road tax are preparing to converge on Moscow later this week. This comes on the heels of protests that helped by healthcare workers. And it's these kinds of economic protests that really spook the Kremlin.
No, I think you're right about that, because, I mean, obviously, I think Putin feels like he's been able to deal with more politically oriented protests in 2011, 2012. But I think he does feel more threatened by protests that are coming from a group of people that have been wronged economically, or at least perceived that they have been. Whether or not this truckers' protest kind of gels into something that really shakes things, it's still, you know, it's sort of a warning sign, I think, for the Kremlin, because, you know, you've got this group. They're important to Russia. There's a lot of them, hundreds of thousands, and they're being affected. You know, they're already in a their livelihoods have been threatened seriously by the economic crisis, and now they're being told, oh, you need to use this tax system and a friend of Putin's is in charge
right.
of it. So I think it's another case where, almost, you know, as in Turkey, I don't want to make a big parallel, but, you know, regular people are being victimized by.
I think we're going to see more of this for a very simple reason. As the Russia's conflict with the West and much of the outside world continues, the economy is going to continue to deteriorate, and they're going to have to make a choice with a shrinking pie. Are they going to cut military spending? I don't think so. Are they going to curb the kleptocracy? I don't think so. So if you accept all of that, then who's going to get squeezed is the ordinary Russian, and this may be a harbinger. We may see more of this.
Yeah, right. And another question is, how do they handle it? I mean, you know, it probably would have been possible to sort of nip this in the bud, but, you know, and realize, okay, we've made a mistake. Let's not do this. Let's not implement this system. But I think, you know, to some degree, the Kremlin has shown that they, you know, that it's not ready to do that, and it's going to kind of let these kind of things continue and hope that it can deal with it somehow down the road. So that's a recipe for, you know, potential threat.
Well, it's something to keep an eye on later in this week. And interestingly enough, the truckers are supposed to converge on Moscow by Thursday, is my understanding. Thursday's the deadline they've given before.
Right. They want the government to
lift this road tax.
Yeah.
And on Thursday is also an important day in the news this week. Thursday is the Putin show, so to speak. Vladimir Putin delivers his annual address to a joint session of parliament, the so-called State of the Nation address. What do we expect him to focus on this time?
Yeah.
He's got a lot to choose from.
Right. The Putin show, part 3 or 4 or whatever it is. I think he has another one coming up later in the month, another of his kind of shows that he...
His big press conference.
That's right. But I mean, I think obviously this is going to be dominated, at least the atmosphere will be dominated by this new, you know, the whole aftermath of the downing of the jet over Sinai and the Russian
downing
fighter
of the SU-24,
in Turkey. So, or in Syria by Turkey. So I think he's going to have to, as usual, I think he's going to go, you know, present Russia as this kind of fortress, a country that's you know, beset by potential enemies and threats, and that has to gather together and unite, you know, to face those, make sacrifices. You know, I assume that he will, as he I think always does, try to put out an olive branch to maybe the West and Turkey and others, sort of saying, we are ready, you know, we're ready to cooperate. But then he adds, it's you that's not, you know, and he puts the onus on the other guy, the West or Turkey.
Right.
So, you know, I think we'll see sort of along the lines of what he's done before. You know, one thing that's interesting, though, is that, you know, you do have these things adding up. You have, you know, people can no longer vacation in Turkey. They can't really vacation
in Egypt.
Sinai. So, and then, you know, the truckers protest. I think people are noticing these things. So, you know, I think he's under a little more pressure domestically than he has been at some points in the past to kind of justify what he's doing. I mean, if you take the Syria, the Sinai shoot down is like, and the Russian bomber shoot down over Syria, you know, many Russians might ask the question, well, was it a good idea to go into Syria?
Yeah, you have to wonder how much longer this fortress Russia narrative can continue to hold the population. It's something I'll be watching for on Thursday as well.
And it's also interesting that, in a way, at the beginning it was sort of a construction. It was like an idea of fortress Russia, but now it's becoming
more like a
reality.
Yeah. Well, this will certainly be one of the more interesting Putin speeches to watch, and we'll be of course keeping a close eye on it. Well, that's all we have time for today, so we'll wrap it up. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me has been senior RFERL editor Steve Gutterman. Join us again next week, and now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.